Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Discover our 2-to-1 offers at your local Kia dealer. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at RT.ie, along the banks of the Royal Canal, one of the great gifts that Dublin has is the two canals, the Royal on the north side, the Grand Canal on the south side that encircle the city centre like two embracing arms. But as you've discovered on this programme last couple of years, the Grand Canal, if you're on your own cycling or walking, can be very dangerous and in terms of unprovoked attacks. And now we're turning our attention to the Royal Canal up near Fisburn in Dublin. And Pete, good afternoon.
Hey Joe, how's it going?
How are you now?
I'm well, I'm alive, Joe.
Yeah, well, tell us what happened.
Oh, so, okay, I was in town having a few points on a Sunday. And so I was heading home towards kind of Glasnevin.
Okay.
And I always walk up to the canal. It's a nice walk, you know. So.
Beautiful walk, yeah.
Yeah. So I was heading up. At the start of the canal, there was a guy on a bike. And he goes, "Oi, mate, do you want to buy some drugs?"
Okay.
And of course, I was like, no.
Yeah.
So I went along. And then at the next lock, I was greeted by his accomplice. It was like a guy there. Mm. It was like, "Hey mate, what's the time?" And like, obviously, I clocked kind of. It was a mug, and obviously, but he then produced a knife from his pocket, which was quite alarming.
Mm.
And he goes, "Give me everything you have."
Jesus.
Yeah. So, I was like, obviously at first I was like, no.
Yeah.
But then he was like, give me it, as he kind of like approached me, and eventually kind of lunged at me. So I, for some reason, I dived into the water, swam across the other side, jumped up and bolted away. So
you just dived into the canal?
Yeah, I dived into Michael Phelps of Northside.
Michael Phelps. And this, by the way, this is the little video you made.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And we put it out because you're in your jocks, aren't you?
I know. Yeah. I was in a pair of shorts, so.
And you looked as if you were in shock. This is
just there, walking down the canal. Some pulled like a big huge knife on me. Had to jump in, run away. Jump into the canal, swim, and then sprint away. It was not cool. I'm soaked.
And you were soaked. Yeah. We put that out, you can see.
Yeah.
But have you ever swam in the canal before?
Never, no.
And how did you know it wasn't deep, or there wasn't a supermarket trolley thrown in ahead of you?
Joe, I had no idea. It was blind faith.
And what was the sensation when you hit the water?
I must say, I was terrified in the water because he was like, "I'm going to kill you." And like his voice had like proper fury in it, proper fury. Yeah. So I was thinking that he might either have an accomplice on the far side who had a knife or even a gun or something, or he might sprint around and get me on your side. But luckily I'm a good swimmer. So.
And did you manage to get out the other side?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
was there a bank?
Your side, straight in out.
And what about your phone?
My phone is waterproof. Thank God. Thanks, Steve Jobs, for that.
Did you know that before you jumped in, Pete?
Yeah. I wouldn't have jumped in though.
And you reckon you reckon the two guys were working together?
Yeah, I think so.
So one of them said to you, "Do you want to buy any drugs?"
Yeah. And the second one, I think he was kind of scoping me out, and then he sent word up the line that I was coming, and
And what were you carrying a bag, or were you in jacket?
I was in a pair of shorts and a jumper. That was it.
The weather's been great, yeah.
Yeah, very mild.
And what do you reckon they were looking for? Your phone?
My phone, Joe. My phone, I presume.
And what's your phone worth?
Well, it's an iPhone. It's a newer iPhone, so I say it'd be worth something.
And that survived a swim, no damage whatsoever.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
You survived a swim.
Yeah.
Hardly.
I'm okay.
And what was it? Did you taste the water?
I don't say I tasted. I certainly felt it.
Was it cold?
It was I was so preoccupied with like with the attack that I wasn't aware of any drop in temperature or anything, but
because it was a very cold night last night. It was a clear sky.
Yeah.
It was a clear sky. So
fine.
But so you're in the water.
Yeah, I'm in the water.
But your decision to jump into the canal.
I know, it's insane. Instinct, I guess. Instinct. Yeah.
Have you ever been mugged before?
No, haven't been mugged before, ever. I'm a very big, bald man, Joe. Big, bald, tattooed, ugly man.
It's
quite sad, Joe. What kind of a city are you in now, you know?
Yeah.
That's the question that I'm asking. Like, what kind of a city are you in now?
Well, you see, as you say, people see from the video you made, sure,
yeah.
You are a big lad.
Yeah, a big lad, yeah.
And you're a fit-looking lad.
Yeah, yeah. I ran away from the corner.
So, well...
So, I got home, and at first I was like, well, I called the police. I was like, no, I'm fine. But then I was like, if that had been, like, someone smaller or someone who was more incapacitated, you know?
Well, you remember further up the Royal Canal there towards Ashtown?
Yeah.
There was a woman savagely attacked by a gang.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse in the canal.
Yeah. So in fairness, you did report it?
I reported it to two guards, and two lovely guards came down to the house.
What did they
Very promptly. And they took a full report, and they're going to investigate, I believe.
And is there any CCTV around there?
I'm not sure, though. It was just, I'd say about halfway, just at the prison there.
Yeah, along the banks. It's
exactly.
Brandon
it went to the angler, right?
Yeah.
My keys fall in the canal as well. They're gone as well.
Oh, the keys are gone?
Yeah, the keys are gone. Jingle-jangle along the banks.
The jingle-jangle in the Royal Canal.
Yeah, in the Royal Canal, yeah.
God, you're... But as I say, if somebody takes you on, thinks they can... whack you and get your, or whatever the phrase is, mug you. And get your phone or whatever few bob you had. Did you have credit cards, by the way? Do you have
No, I had all the wallets and stuff now is on the phone.
Yeah, great,
I lost my keys. I think I lost some cash in the canal, so I might head back to the fishing rod tonight. But, I'm fine.
And did you tell your family?
Yeah, I told my family, yeah.
And what did they say?
They said, they're all very concerned, I guess.
Yeah, okay. But, well, fair play to you. But you're dead right. You're dead right if they take you on.
Yeah, they have to take you on.
Yeah. And by the way, what state were they in? Were they compass mentis?
He was very cold, actually. He was cold in the, I'd say.
Yeah, okay.
He wasn't, he didn't seem to be out or anything. Or he seemed cold and like he wasn't drunk or anything. So he was cold and calculated.
Okay, how are you today?
I'm fine.
You say in your video it was a big knife.
Yeah, it was a big knife.
What do you reckon? Was it a kitchen knife or a...
Do you know what? I didn't really see the actual blade thing. I seen like a big black handle, and I could see the size of the thing, and like it was pretty big. So that's what I was half thinking of. I was grappling the fella, but then I was like, no, it's too risky. So
you were half thinking of tackling him.
Yeah, tackling him. Yeah, or like. Give him like a push and run away. But I was backed up against the canal, so
I know. Well, you ended up in the canal.
In the canal, in the drink.
And did you jump in or dive in?
I jumped in.
I just think
jumped in backwards because I was facing him, so you know. So I kind of backed off him a bit and then jumped in. In I went.
Could you see where you were jumping?
No. Blind.
Oh, for God's sake, how are you about the Michael? You're the Michael Phelps of the north side.
A few strokes on your side.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm just
Just warn people.
Yeah. I think I'm fine now.
Okay. Just warn people.
Look, your Skype. But I feel for him too because it's not way to live. You know, it's not way to live for him as well. You know.
To be trying to mug someone at 1 o'clock in the morning.
He must be in a desperate old place, though. So I hope he can find some kind of help somewhere.
Yeah, fair play to you.
Yeah.
And what do you do in real life?
I'm a banker, though.
You're a banker?
A banker, yeah.
Yeah, fair play. Thought I misheard you there for a second. I thought it was your mask.
No.
And are you back in work?
Back work about, yeah.
And you're... From the banks of the Royal Canal to the banks of Dublin. Well
done.
Well done. Okay, bro. Pete, well done, and well done on your fortitude, but above all else, well done on reporting it to the Gardaí, because they've been on to say they're treating it seriously.
Yeah.
Because it's other people that you managed. I would be afraid of my life of jumping into the canal. And yeah. I can swim.
No,
I'm banjo. You're inflatable. You'd have one of those swans out a little. You know the swans?
Yeah.
Okay, listen, Pete, you mind yourself.
Thanks, Al.
And fair play to you and all around you. That's Pete, who was set upon by two lads at the Royal Canal in Dublin last night. It was after midnight, walking home in his jumper and his shorts, the day that was in it. And they scoped him, as he said. One fella mooched him from behind, and then the other fella was waiting on him. And to get out of it, he jumped backwards into the canal. Have a look at the canal, by the way, on Google Earth up there. It's a wide breach. It's a beautiful feature. It's a wide breach. Okay. Back after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. An article in today's Irish Independent, page 11, by Sarah MacDonald. Churches like the Taliban in the way it excludes all women. It's by the chairperson of the Association of Catholic Priests, Father Roy Donovan, and he's compared the Catholic Church to the Taliban over its discrimination and exclusion of women from ordination, decision making and governance. And he goes on, he's talking about deacons. And as you know, we've done it in this programme, a lot of parishes now are dependent on deacons who are male. But apparently there is consideration in the Vatican now to allow women to become deacons or enter the diaconate, as they say. Father Roy goes on to say, in Afghanistan, the Taliban have pushed women out of the public square back into the home with no part in decision making and politics. The church, the Catholic Church, is Taliban like, because women are not involved in leadership or governance or decision making. To all purposes, they are excluded from the public forum in the church. Why are so many bishops and cardinals afraid of women? Now, putting the women issue aside, John O'Donovan, you've contacted us. You say, well, what do you think of this comparison, the Catholic Church and the Taliban?
I couldn't believe it. Absolutely outrageous. And it deserves an immediate apology from the said same individual. And I would call on him publicly to do it. To actually compare the Catholic Church to a bunch of people that don't allow women in society, any equality, that take gay and lesbian people and throw them off a roof, set fire to them, stone them to death. I mean, and this character who calls himself a Catholic priest.
But he is. He doesn't call. He is a Catholic priest, in fairness.
That's why, well, to me,
very, well, very well regarded.
The term that I used there, I was just making the point that, like, to call himself a priest, I mean, I don't see him acting like a priest, like a Catholic, or being Catholic priest, because to compare, I mean, the Taliban to the Catholic Church, it's the most outrageous thing I've ever heard. I mean, these people are savages. Like, I mean, the way they treat women, the way they treat gay and lesbian people. No, what he has said about as regards celibacy in the church, I agree, Joe, that should be gone a long time ago. Yeah, priests should have the option and knowledge.
So
I have no problem with women, priests.
So as far as you're concerned, that's celibacy is not the issue. It's the comparison to the Taliban.
It's absolutely outrageous. I mean, to compare the Catholic Church to a bunch of absolute savages, and that's what they are.
Women are not allowed to appear in streets in Afghanistan under the Taliban without a blood relative. They're not allowed to wear high-heeled shoes. They should not speak loudly in public, and no stranger should hear a woman's voice. All ground and first floor residential windows should be painted over to prevent women from being visible from the street. Photographing, filming, displaying pictures of females in newspapers, books and shops or at home is banned. The modification of any place names that included the word women, for example, Women's Garden is now renamed Spring Garden. Women are forbidden to appear in the balconies of their apartments or houses. Ban on women's presence on radio, television or at public gatherings of all at any kind. The Taliban's religious police beat women on the street if they don't adhere to all of these rules. It's just, and apart from executing women, and you're right about they're treatment, not just of women, but of anyone who's anyway different or says they're different in terms of their sexuality or gender, is absolutely.
I mean, if you look at any church, Joe, there is no signs up or said any church here in Cork or anywhere in this country, any Catholic church, saying that gay, lesbian people need not attend. Everyone is welcome in the house of God. And had someone like this, I mean, be comparing, as I said, the faith of this country, like, I mean, and the Catholicism and the good priests that are out there, and linking them in with the Taliban, like, is an absolute outrage. And I'm calling on him for a public apology, and he can come on this program if he wants to.
And it's the he's chairperson of the Association of Catholic Priests.
Well, he should resign straight away. He should not be the chairperson if this is his attitude. Linking in, as I said, the Taliban and the Catholic Church is absolutely
an abomination. Yeah, but all of this, John, this article has appeared in The Independent this morning. We got a call about it. But where's the Catholic Church defending itself?
Well, you're quite right. I mean, they should be able to the block straight away. I mean, where's the Prime of All Ireland on this? Like, where's the Archbishop of Dublin? Where's the Bishop of Cork? They should have been met head on this morning. You're quite right.
Okay, well, maybe we'll ask them, anyone can phone in to Liveline. Michael O'Leary phones in 1850 715 815, if any of the hierarchy or anyone in the Catholic Church wants to defend the Catholic Church. Frank Brown, stay there, John, 51551, joe@rt.ie. Frank Brown is a deacon in Ballyroan Parish in Rathfarnham. And this is where this article originates. It is a decision that only men, when he's talking about the diocese of Limerick and also of Kildare and Loughlin, and they're saying the current intake for deacons should only be married men or celibate men. A single celibate man, but it doesn't, women are not mentioned. And Father Roy Donovan, Frank, I don't know whether you saw this paragraph, it relates to you as a deacon. I'm not sure that the church is getting a high calibre of candidates for the diaconate, as most of the high calibre men aren't going forward while women are still excluded. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think Father Roy I'm sure he's trying to make a good case for what he's saying. I mean, he's part of an organisation that wouldn't be that representative of priests in general. And I suppose it's kind of bringing, and I understand why, it's bringing in this kind of sense of a union. And obviously, priesthood is a vocation. He's also missing the point of the word deacon. Deacon is a Greek word for service. So the role of a deacon is basically to help out. In the first church, remember Stephen's day, it was about giving out charity.
How did you become a deacon?
In the Catholic Church. When I was a young fella, I was thinking of being a priest, and I decided that celibacy wasn't for me, and I'm happy to say I'm married with three kids, and I work as a professional social worker. Some of the guys with me, there were 10 of us, 8 of us ordained, 7 of us ordained together. And another guy's a psychiatric nurse. He works pharmaceutical company. Another guy's an accountant. And most of these guys, we've all, in Dublin, we do a BA in theology in DCU. And I'm glad to say all of us have passed. And we also do extra stuff.
But women aren't allowed.
At the moment, the church is debating that because, as you know from your history, there was a deacon in the very early church, but there's a debate whether that was the fact that women offered charity to women and the men that were brought in to help the apostles. But in later years, it became a stepping stone to priesthood. I know Father Roy means well. And
Father Roy, sorry.
But, I mean, most of my group would love women to have a similar role to ourselves.
Okay. What do you think of the Taliban analogy?
Well, that was just to grab attention, which he has. You know, I mean, there's lots of good Taliban guys out there who are dedicated to their faith. Not everyone in the Taliban is going around chopping people's heads off.
Where is the evidence? There's lots of good Taliban guys out there.
What I'm saying
any families we've had on who fled Afghanistan, they've nothing but horror stories about the Taliban.
No, what I'm saying
horror
is
stories.
The young boys.
People climbing on the undercarriage of planes at airports and being lifted into the air and falling 400 or 500 feet to their death to get away from these people.
Yeah, no, I agree. What I'm trying to say is a lot of the young men and women and that support the Taliban, I'm sure they're good Muslim people. I don't obviously what they did in the past. Yeah, but that's the, listen, I'm not defending the Taliban.
I know, but a lot of people say Muslim and Taliban do not tally. Father Roy Donovan is there. Father Roy, good afternoon.
And likewise, Joe.
How are you? And Roy, what reaction have you been getting to this article comparing the Irish Catholic Church, or the Catholic Church generally, to the Taliban?
Yes, I've got a very good response, and I want to thank all the people that are making responses. Responses from people that I've never connected with ever before. So this is it's touching a live nerve in people. The will of the people on the ground is being ignored completely. The will of most people on the ground in Ireland is that there should be women deacons and there should be women priests.
No, I take that point, and you've made those points before, and a lot of people have made them on this programme and other more important fora as well. But to compare the Catholic Church to a bunch of misogynistic, women killing, women raping, women denying, not allowing women even go to school, to compare the Catholic Church, your church, to those bunch of, I don't know what you would call them. Savage is too kind a word. But to compare to the Catholic Church doesn't behead women. It doesn't publicly engage in mass rape of women. It doesn't publicly flog women. It doesn't publicly stop women going out on the street. And more importantly, it has led the way, whether a lot of people like, it has led the way in this country in the education of women, where the Taliban won't even let a woman go to school. They will shoot, they will kill them. You can't.
But that was my point.
But that analogy can't stand, Roy.
Yeah, no, that was my point, Joe.
That can't.
The Catholic Church allowed, I shouldn't say allowed, in the early Christian communities, women were on par with men. And for Jesus, the fundamental thing is that women and men are equal. What I'm saying is the Catholic Church is not able to, it's not able for the teaching of Jesus, it's not able to implement that. It was alive for about 20 years in the early churches, and then gradually women were silenced. And they've been silenced ever since from the public forum. So what the analogy I was making was that the Taliban, their view of women in this regard, that women over the last 10 years or so in Afghanistan have been able to go to schools, they've been able to take up many public positions. With the Taliban, recently, as you have already outlined, women have been excluded completely from the public square. And that dualism is still in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, but
that dualism is still there.
But there's a difference.
That men is
I know,
for the
but
public
Roy,
square.
Surely there's a difference between being excluded from a debate, which is wrong, by the way. They should not be. There is a difference between somebody who excludes, you believe, I'm sure some of the church would argue differently, that the women are excluded from the debate. There's a difference between that and a group who exclude women from human life by killing them because no other reason, because they are women. Now, how can that analogy stand?
Joe, the Catholic Church is doing violence to women by the very fact that women can't be in the public forum in terms of leadership, voting, making decision-making. That's violence of different kinds to women. It is violence to women.
Okay.
The Catholic Church has given a very bad example to women all over the world. From the teaching of Jesus, the Catholic Church should be ahead of the posse, and it should be very clear that women and men are equal
in every regard. I think, including John O'Donovan, by the way, the original caller, said he agrees with you. But what he does, well, John, you talk to Father Roy. You want to make the points.
Yeah, well, I would ask him, Father, at this stage, if you look, I agree that women should have more say in the church and the running of the church. I have no problem with women priests, women deacons, and having a say in the church, right? But, to compare with the Taliban, I would support all the ordination of women and the whole lot. But please, I would ask you at this stage, to withdraw the word Taliban. Because to link the Taliban and the Catholic Church and the way women are treated here in the Catholic Church is outrageous. I agree with everything else as regards women have a say. And I have no problem with the ordination of women, as I say, or women deacons or whatever. But I have a major problem with you trying to make your point, which I agree with, all the points, but to link in the Taliban and the Catholic Church. I would ask you at this stage, Father, to withdraw that.
as I've reiterated already, the women in Afghanistan were allowed into the public square and the public forum. And now the Taliban have removed them from the public forum. I'm saying that the Catholic Church is like the Taliban in that regard, in that for nearly 20 centuries, the Catholic Church has removed women from the public forum, decision-making, governance, and voting. In that way, they are similar.
But you could have made your point, Father, with a way to suspect, like you mean, without using the word Taliban. You could have said that you believe that we've come to the stage, you know, in the Catholic Church in Ireland here, with the age of the priests now that are retiring and dying off, that we need new blood to come in, right? So we're not getting that many young men joining. And I am now proposing that women be ordained. I think that, Joe, I'd be very surprised even if you didn't appall in this. I think women, that people out there would have no problem with women being ordained. But to be bringing the Taliban into it, you're destroying your own argument.
I'm trying to get the attention of the world of the Catholic Church to what they have done to women for the last 20 centuries, that it's violence to women.
But you see, you use the term violence to women, right? I mean, like...
Yes, it is violence to women. There's no other word for it.
Women have freedom here in this country. They haven't, as you have said, you can't even walk down the streets over there without being covered up. Women can walk into a Catholic church with a miniskirt. Women can participate and going to mass, receiving communion, all of the above. Women have a say in society here. You can vote. You have equal rights. You can't do any of that. And as I said, to be continuously linking in, even at this stage you won't withdraw, the Taliban and the church here, it's just outrageous.
You also say, Roy, and it's Frank Brown is a deacon, the point you're, I don't know if Frank is still there, I'm not sure that the church is getting a high calibre of candidates for the diaconate, as most of the high calibre men aren't going forward while women are still excluded. Is that a bit hard on those... Men.
Some of the callers who have responded to my article have agreed with me that the calibre of some of the deacons is to be questioned in some of the diocese.
In what way, Roy?
And that they're very arch-conservative,
okay.
That they don't seem to have any role. They have no... your deacon that was on there, he spoke about... that deacons could be out in society more rather than tied to the inner church space, that they could be doing a lot more. Deacons were brought in the early church because the needs become so enormous. And it was a way of spreading
John, hang on, John. I want to put Frank on. Frank Brown is a deacon.
Yeah.
Frank, do you want to address that point
that deacons,
and it's said about priests as well, who are studying at the minute, that by given the nature of the church, that it's arch-conservatives who are going for those roles.
I'm sure, like in any organisation, you'll have a mix of people. I'd love to meet Father Roy for a coffee and I'll pay for it. But just to say that we're all married. I have a very assertive wife and most of the guys I work with have assertive wives. Some of our wives are very involved in the church and some choose not to be. The reason why, and I think it's disappointing because Brendan Leahy is the Bishop of Limerick and he's a fabulous guy. I know him for many years. He knows that there are a lot of elderly priests who can hardly get a day off. Yes, it'd be great to have, and I think most of my class would love there to be women in our class, and there were lots of women studying with us. But the whole idea and the reasons why, like when I retire, I'll be able to give 3, 4, 5 days a week. At the moment, I cover weekends if my parish priest wants a holiday. I'm preparing the sacrament of confirmation with a group of people. And
what can you do? You can do funerals, baptisms, weddings.
Well, we have some marvelous women working with us, but some of them have been religion teachers and they've studied and you have to have a little bit of theological knowledge. And I think Father Roy is probably right. In some parts of the country, they're not on the doorstep. Matter Day has shut down. They're not on the doorstep of DCU. So in Dublin, we've been very fortunate to have 4 years of theological training and we do weekends. But it's
now what's
it's
that, what's that, what sacraments can you officiate at?
Deacons can anybody can baptize, but in the church it's usually a cleric, so it's a parish priest or a deacon. At a funeral, if there's no priest around, a lay person can do it. Lots of lay people do. So there's nothing a deacon does that a woman can't. And all I'm saying is the guys, most of the guys that I work with, we're doing it because we're coming towards the end of our careers. And we're helping out a bunch of fantastic.
And what
men
about the point that Father Roy makes about the nature of the fact that it is gender specific, i.e., those who identify as male. Well, those who are male, I presume, if you identify as male, you wouldn't be allowed. But what about the fact that you're arch conservatives?
Well, I'm not an arch conservative. I'd love to see women deacons, and I love to see and the idea that only a priest gives a homily and a deacon can give a homily. My female colleagues can give a reflection. It's just not called a homily. So you can agitate and you can stop everything, or you can try to change the church from within. And I'm pretty confident Pope Francis really wants to get this female deacon over the line.
Sheila, your point, please.
Can I just respond there?
Right.
Can I just say, look, I think you're great and you're doing great work. I'd love to have guys of your calibre and to be make a very exciting church if there are more guys like you. But I'm making the point, there are also, and you, I think you would agree with me, there are equally just as many women out there who would bring the same energy and maybe even a different energy.
Is it fair to say the church, I'm not sure that the church is getting, and you've repeated it here, is getting a high calibre of candidates for the diaconate, as most of the high calibre men aren't going forward? What does that mean?
Thank me.
Right, anyway, we'll go back in a sec. Yeah. Sheila is in Waterford. Your point, please, Sheila.
All I'm just saying is, I just came in, I don't know who's speaking, but just really compared the church to the Taliban.
It's Father Roy Donovan. He's a parish priest in Carrickonnellish, County Limerick. He's a well-known priest. He's involved in I think he's a leader at the minute of the Association of Catholic Priests, which a lot of priests are members of. I don't know if the hierarchy actually officially recognise them. It's to their shame if they don't. But he said the Catholic Church, because of the way it treats women, is like the Taliban.
Okay, all I'd just like to say is that if you look at Christianity throughout the world, go back in time, if you look like Europe, America, mm-hmm. Australia, mm-hmm. New Zealand, women have equality, have fantastic rights. Any other country where Christianity has not been practiced, we see women, we don't have to look too far if you look at the Taliban, we see how women are treated, second-class citizens. And all I can say is, that the religion, the Catholic Church.
Still,
I know. No,
still
just let me just.
Class citizens, still
no, no, no.
Class
please, please, please. Just let me finish. Just please let me finish. It is. If we look back at our history, go way back now in the 1800s. Mm. It was the nuns. It was the priests that brought Catholic brought education to Ireland. Now, just think about it. The first hospitals were as a result of Christianity. Is what brought out the first hospitals worldwide. So there has been, there have been a lot of bad things that happened, but the good has overtaken all that. So that's all I just want to say, and there's a lot of things really that we should be proud of our Catholic faith. I just leave it at that.
Okay, Sheila, thanks.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
Tommy, your point, please. Hello, Tommy.
Hello.
Your point, please, Tommy, about what Father Roy Donovan said.
Well, Joe, yes, I was listening to that. I think it's a gross exaggeration to compare the Taliban, with the Catholic Church. For instance, I was just reading there, in fact, I came across a lot of the information that you read out yourself, Joe, about women not even being allowed to ride bicycles. If they're in their house, they have to have their windows painted. I read one case, they're not even allowed to paint their nails with nail varnish, not allowed to wear high heels. One woman had the top of her thumb chopped off because she had nail varnish on it. Another woman refused to give up her work when all the women were banned from working back when the Taliban.
But my Father Roy says there's violent, the violence that the Catholic Church visits on women by their exclusion of women is comparable to the violence of the Taliban.
Well, that's really over the top, an exaggeration. I don't see any women getting their thumbs chopped off, or I don't see any church priests or deacons painting the windows of women in their houses, so no one can, you know, or I don't see any of them stop and prevent women from wearing Western clothes.
Yeah.
It's the violence of exclusion. What if it was the other way around in the Catholic Church, that all the women were the bishops, the cardinal, and the pope?
Yeah.
And I know, us men had no say. What would that be like? For 20 centuries?
I can see where you're coming from. But at the same time, it all goes back to the time of our Lord when he picked the 12 apostles, you know.
Sorry, can I correct you there? The gospels were written 30 years after, and by then women were being silenced and being wiped out.
Yeah, but Father...
But they're not being silenced. Listen, I know many women who would have no interest in becoming priests, you know, no interest whatsoever, and I think it's grossly exaggerated.
But Tommy, the argument is a comparison.
Father, hang on a sec, Tommy.
Can I just put a point?
The doctrine of the church going back thousands of years, you know, they didn't feel authorized. Even Pope John Paul, Pope Francis, they feel they are not authorized to make women deacons. Whatever about women deacons, there is a commission at the moment. There is a commission women at the moment, I think, studying women deacons.
Women have had no input into the teaching of the Catholic Church over the last 20 years. Women have had no input into the language and the liturgy or the composition of the liturgy.
No, that's not true. I think there's a lady on the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith now in Rome, as far as I know at the moment.
I'm talking about 20 centuries.
Tommy, but hang on. This argument, as far as I can see, from our initial call, John O'Donovan, this argument is the sting of the argument. It's not about women priests, which is a really important, and women's role in the church. It is about the legitimacy of comparing the Catholic Church to the Taliban. Now, Father Roy, if you're comparing the Catholic Church to the Taliban, what are you doing as a member of the Taliban? You're in the Taliban.
Well, I don't know. Does he know the Taliban? Does he know really what they're up to? I saw a picture on Facebook.
Just a sec, Tommy. Hold on. Let Father Roy reply.
I am part of a system. I put my hands up. I am part of a system, yes.
You're part of the Taliban?
If you want to call it that way, yes. The Taliban's negative view of women.
Not negative view. A woman from 8 onwards cannot go outside her house on her own, according to the Taliban. A woman is flogged on the streets. Flogged on the streets if she's on her own. Flogged by the religion. You're a member of that group, Roy. Would you flog a woman? For being a woman.
I'm taking a lot of license. My original comparison was that in Afghanistan for 10 years or more, women have enjoyed great freedoms.
I know, I take that point. I take all of those points.
But that's the point I'm making.
You say the violence of the Catholic Church by excluding women is comparable to the violence of the Taliban by killing women. It's not. Because if somebody, God forbid, kills a woman in Ireland, there is a tariff of a life sentence in prison for that, such as the heinous nature of the crime. But if a woman, which should not happen either, if a woman, as happened the other day on the train in the Dart in Dublin, if a woman is abused verbally, hopefully they will be caught, but they will not be sent to prison for life. That is not the tariff. Now, Father Joe MacDonald is in Strafford. Joe, now the argument isn't about women or women priests or celibacy or deacons. The argument is about the comparison of the Catholic Church to the Taliban. What do you think of that comparison?
Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for having me on. And good afternoon to the other speakers. I suppose the thing that struck me listening to Roy and to John, possibly others, that they're both clearly speaking from a position of love for the church. Come on, Joe, stop.
Are you a member of the Taliban? Are you? Do you feel like you're a member of the Taliban? Rape and murder and flog women for no other reason than being a woman. Do you feel you're a member of the Taliban?
So to answer your question, Joe...
You won't answer the question, Joe. I'm sorry. I'm asking for... What do you feel of that? And that, what do you feel as a Catholic priest, a well-regarded, as indeed Father Roy is as well, and both of you served in the same parish in St. Matthew's and Ballyfermot, and both of you did a wonderful job there and were highly regarded. But what do you think of Father Roy now saying that the church, you were a leading member, Joe, is comparable to the Taliban? Can that stand?
Well, in fairness, Joe, I don't think you would normally accuse me of not answering your question. So my answer will be very clear. And I wouldn't put myself in the same league as Roy. He's a much more spiritual priest than I will ever be. And that was evident in Ballyfermot because I was only trotting after him. But what I would say to you is Roy is making a very, very valid point. And I regularly incur people who have suffered extraordinary violence at the hands of the church, okay?
Of individuals in the church?
Well, no, individuals and system. Now, let's not talk about individuals. There's a systematic problem here that Roy is addressing. And whether we get bogged down in the word Taliban, I've used the word ISIS, by the way, a few times myself from the altar. And, we can get bogged down in that. He's making an extremely valid point. The church is dying in front of us. And it's a clerical caste that's dying. 73 years of age is the average age of the priest in the Dublin diocese. We have no recruits. There's no seminarians. So we need to get very real about this. Like this, Roy is talking about something that's dying in front of us. And he's highlighting two things. He's highlighting the fact that we've starved ourselves of the brilliance, the absolute brilliance and beauty of the feminine. We have starved ourselves of that. We can talk about letting them in, doing this and they can do that. Mm-hmm. It's all nonsense. The reality is women are second-class citizens in the Catholic Church, do the flowers, make the tea, dress the altar, don't dare go near that mic to give a sermon or a homily, and the nonsense of it. And a crusty old celibate like me getting up to talk about the motherhood of Mary. What the hell? Let the young woman up. The bishop sitting out in Maynooth trying to work out a response to the amendments, and underneath them a group of young Catholic committed women, mothers. They wouldn't stop their old celibate talk for 5 minutes and invite the women up and listen to them. Roy is making a very important point, and we can beat him over the head now about the Taliban and this and that and the other. Well, I won't be doing that. To answer your question, yeah, at times I do, Joe, and I love the church. I think you know that. I love the church passionately. And there'd be people after me talking, they say, oh, if you're not happy, get out. I'm going nowhere. This is my church. But we should be protesting against the Episcopal Conference in Ireland and say, give us back our church. The lay people and primarily the women. And that is the point that Roy's making. And Joe, you know this, and I think your listeners know, I come from growing up in violence. I grew up, from I was 8 till I was 18, was the 10 worst years of the Troubles in Belfast. Mm-hmm. And they were bookended by the army arriving and the hunger strikers dying. But you know what I learned, Joe? I learned very, very quickly that violence, you know, is not just as in-your-face as you think. It can be very corrosive. It can be a rust. And the Catholic Church contributes every single day all around this country to misogyny, to homophobia, and they're the sins of the clerical church. And Roy is... I'm not putting words in Roy's mouth, but I understand that Roy is calling out the clerical church in that. And I, like him, put my hands up, Joe. Okay. Yeah, I'm part of it. I choose to be part of it in the hope that I will manage the sad part of me, and the really sad part, I'm on the last roll of this, Joe. I'm giving this one more go. The Archbishop of Dublin has a task force in place now. He has promised decisions. But if there's no decisions over the next 6 months, where I'm gone. Like, I'm not going to hang around.
What do you mean you're gone, Joe?
Well, what I'm saying, Joe, is I have to walk away from this. Like it says in the Gospel.
You will not be a priest in 6 months if Archbishop Farrell in Dublin doesn't.
What I'm saying to you, Joe, is in 6 months' time, if we haven't tackled the issues that we're talking about for 50 years, 50 years since Vatican II, and we're talking all nonsense about it. And you know why, Joe? Because the clerical caste system is afraid of the feminine. We got to keep them back. They'll show us up. That point you made, I haven't read Roy's thing in detail. The point you made earlier about not getting the high quality of deacon. You tell me we're getting the high quality of priest. Are you serious? I tell you what, when I look in the mirror in the morning, I don't see high quality. I can tell you that.
So you're gone. You're leaving in 6 months if nothing changes.
Let me be clear. But I'm saying 6 months, Joe. In 6 months' time, if there isn't clear evidence that we've stopped the talk and we're starting to... And I have great hopes for Dermot Farr. Great hopes. I think he's a man of action. But in 6 months' time, if there's not clear action against the sins of the church and clear evidence of renewal and reform, tangible and measurable ones, I will be going to the Archbishop, offering him my resignation and say, there are many, many places in the world to be priest. I cannot continue to bolster up such a dysfunctional system as we have at the moment.
And Father, stay there, Joe, please. And I apologise, Joe, if I was short with you at the start, but I want to focus on this thing about the analogy with the Taliban because of the heinous nature of what they do. Father Roy, I'll let you be the first speaker after this break, I promise.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
I began with a call about an article in today's Irish Independent. Churches like the Taliban and the way it excludes all women. These are the comments of Father Roy Donovan, who's chairperson of the Association of Catholic Priests. He's a PP down in County Limerick and was sparked by the fact that his bishop, and indeed all bishops, are saying that the diaconate, the deacons who are in the church, can be men only. Now, Father Roy, Father John MacDonald said there, if there's no change in Dublin in 6 months, he's gone. But there won't be any change because it's not up to Dublin or Limerick or Armagh, it's up to Rome.
Yes, can I just say that I agree completely with Joe MacDonald. I wish I had his gifts of being so articulate and being able to name things, being so surgical in the way he was able to nail things down. I would agree totally and completely with what he has said. As regards, I need to be gone in 5 minutes.
Okay.
As regards Dublin, and I think he's right that Dermot Farrell there is a man of action, and I don't think he's going to be disappointed from what I gather. And in terms, I suppose...
But your bishop, which is one of the reasons why you spoke out at this stage.
No, he's not my bishop.
Oh, sorry, okay.
I belong to the Archdiocese of Cashel and Nimley, and so he's the bishop next door, even though I'm in County Limerick. Yeah.
Bishop Brendan Leahy. On a male-only diaconate is going back to the Dark Ages and ignoring the early movement of Jesus Christ, where women were clearly welcomed. Now, but could Bishop Leahy, under the current rules, have made any other decision? Can a bishop...
Yes, he could have. There are many women on that course that he was addressing, and they've done that course over the last year that has come out of the Limerick Synod. I mean, it's a very positive thing that so many...
And are there any female deacons in the Catholic Church in Ireland, Roy?
No, but there are female deacons in the Orthodox Church. The Orthodox Catholic Church.
They have married priests as well, don't they?
They have, but they reintroduce women deacons... in the last
So are you calling on an Irish bishop to allow female deacons, and what would happen if they did?
Yes, I think they should come out and strongly say that they're in favour of equality for women in the Catholic Church, whether that be deacons or priests.
You follow this closer than I do, and Joe as well, Father John. Has the Catholic hierarchy ever said, well, yes, we agree that there should be women deacons as a group?
No, I haven't seen it anyway.
Okay, Claire is.
I think it would help if they made some kind of public comments like that. But the people on the streets.
We rang a few bishops when we started getting calls on this, and they all ran. Why don't bishops defend the church that their leaders are?
Yeah, yeah. Why are they afraid of women?
Yeah, I take that point. Claire, quick point, Claire. I know Roy has got a work to attend to in his clerical life. Claire, your quick point, please.
Oh, just basically, I can understand exactly where Roy is coming from. I think maybe the reference to the Taliban might have been stretching the point a bit. But, I mean, it is a fact that, you know, a woman with full theological training, education, pastoral, ministry degree, simply cannot function in any kind of a real way within the Catholic Church at the moment. And whereas,
and why did, why did you study
reference to the physical violence of the Taliban?
Well, there is a difference now. There is a difference, and that's recognised.
If I can make my point,
okay.
I would say that there is a form of emotional violence, intellectual violence. It's a human thing.
There is a distinction between verbal violence, which is horrific against anyone, including women, and there is a difference between that and physical violence, which can extinguish human life.
That's not really what's a red herring.
I didn't know what's a red herring.
The whole
Father Roy said the church is like the Taliban.
Running off on the point of the Taliban is a red herring.
Well, I didn't
That's
bring
the
up
point
the Taliban.
That I'm making.
Okay.
The point that I'm making is that there is a lot of frustration
so
within the
Father
church
Roy
and within
would...
the clergy about this continual exclusion of women
from ministries that
they are well competent
to undertake. Does the analogy with the Taliban stand?
And especially, I think, the whole thing of the diaconate, which is the service. It was initially the service to the poor, the service to the needy. And it's women largely within the church who have always performed that function. Okay. Not only women, not exclusively women. Very many men as well.
Of course, yeah.
But the majority of those in those roles have been women.
And
yet, role is given to men.
Okay.
And I think part of that is because so early on it became part of the road to priesthood.
Yeah. And Claire, why did
just a ceremony. They become a deacon before they become a priest.
But you
I
can't,
know they do a lot of pastoral studies as well. I know all of that. But it still doesn't change the point that the role is effectively open to both genders. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that women have largely been involved in that. I have been involved in many ways in my diocese. I'm a practicing Catholic.
Okay.
But, and I think, quite honestly, if I weren't a woman, I would have been invited at some stage to consider the diaconate. But because I'm a woman, it doesn't enter into, it doesn't even enter into the minds.
But Father Roy and indeed Father Joe, the two priests that have been on the programme, they would be of the view that the maybe I don't put words in your mouth, Roy, so check me, that the vast majority of priests, anyway, priests, would support female deacons.
That is my experience. But the problem is with Rome. There's no doubt about that. The problem isn't with the Irish Church, although I agree very much with the point that if only our Irish bishops would speak up and agitate a little bit more.
Okay. Thanks, Claire. Why did you study theology? What was the?
Because I absolutely love it for no other reason.
Great. Okay. Well, it's a fantastic role.
And I have enjoyed, the roles I have played within the church.
Yeah, and I know when I was in Trinity, there was a course, it was a great theology apparently, there was a biblical studies course, which I consider because it was just so fascinating,
absolutely fascinating.
Okay,
Claire. Yes, it was a major part, actually, of my divinity degree, yes.
Well done. Thanks, Claire. Thanks, that's Claire and Dundalk. Anne O'Gorman, your point, please, Anne.
Oh, Joe, after that lady, I can tell you, I am a Catholic. I've always been a Catholic. After the age of 14, I wanted to be a nun, and then I discovered boys, and that, that went out the window. But when I got married and had my first child, I knew nothing about it. I never heard of churching, never knew what it was, because it didn't happen in my house. But my husband came in and said, my mother has arranged for the priest, for you to go down and see the priest. I said, for what? And he said, for churching. And I said, what's that?
He said,
it's something to do with after you have a baby.
Yeah.
So I said, I better go down. And I went down, and I will never forget it. I'm 83 now. I was 21, going on 22 then. And it was absolutely horrendous.
Explain to younger listeners as we began, what was churching?
It was to expel the evil from you.
What was the evil?
The evil of me having a baby. How could it be evil? How could I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And it was all this, he was reading on and on with his prayers, and I started to cry. And he just kept on reading them, and I got up and walked out. And my husband was waiting outside with the baby in the pram, and he said, "What's the matter?" I said, don't you ever dare ask me to go in there and suffer something like that. Mm-hmm. That was a disgrace. He's made me out to be some sort of criminal because there's evil in me for having a baby. You know, and it was very common then, but all the ladies my age now, we still talk about it because our mothers or mother-in-laws or whatever told us to go, you know. But we didn't go for any subsequent children, I can tell you. But I still have nightmares about it. And that's a long, long time ago.
Okay,
you know, now, I think the church wouldn't be where it is today only for women.
Well,
you
see,
if you go into any church...
But Father Joe and Father Roy says the church is dying on its feet. Because they won't allow women. Well, among other things, but they won't allow...
I think it would help an awful lot if they had women, because women are the main people in the churches. Go into any church. And there's far, far more women at church. And I think they'd be very good at deacons. I think they'd be absolutely excellent.
Everyone. I've yet to hear anyone on the programme who disagrees with that, be they in a clerical collar or otherwise. But what do you think of the comparison of the Irish or the Catholic Church to the Taliban?
I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that. The Taliban are absolutely horrendous. I mean, they I don't know where they come from, but they're horrendous in their attitude towards women. It is just unbelievable that they can get away with it. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The Catholic Church is nothing like that. They don't do that. I went to a Catholic school by nuns. We had priests coming in to talk to us every now and again. There was nothing, never anything about you can't do this, you can't do that. You can't go to school, you can't work, you can't expose your face, you can't paint your nails. There was never, ever anything like that in the Catholic Church, in my experience.
Okay, and good evening, Magnasano, Gorman and Cork.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RT.ie. It's the article in the Irish Independent. Churches like the Taliban and the way it excludes all women. It's Sarah MacDonald, based on quotes from Father Roy Donovan, who's a parish priest in County Limerick and the chairperson of the Association of Catholic Priests. He also said, I don't think it's about women being excluded from the diaconate, from becoming deacons, but this is a Roman decision. The church is Taliban-like because women are not involved in leadership or governance or decision-making. Father Roy has been on the programme for a significant period, and he stands over what he said. He does compare the violence of excluding women to the violence of the Taliban, which is excluding women from humanity, from the human race, from life, full stop. Anne Kelleher, Anne, what do you think of the comparison, first of all?
Well, I'll take it from a language point of view, Joe. I'm just thinking of that place in the Gospel where Jesus says that if anyone hurts a child, it's better that a millstone be thrown around their neck and they put it and they be drowned, as it were. So I think actually what it has done, at least, it has started the discussion in a very real way. And sometimes maybe we have to almost go to an extreme. So from a language point of view, I think, well done. But from, we say, what's happening from a physical point of view, certainly not. But on the other hand, if there is systemic silencing of half of the church, of women, then gradually, I do believe there is a little chip by little, and people's self-confidence is eroded. And what they could contribute is absolutely silenced. So I think from that
but
point
it's not
of view, there is
at
a
this,
dying.
At this stage, exclusion of women is not a little chip. It's in the Catholic Church. It's Micah in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is crumbling.
It is. But chip by chip crumbles. And my background is in psychotherapy, and that's what I see happening, where we say there are women living with men who silence them, who degrade them, and who sometimes kill them. The other thing I would say, though, and I think it's part of the humour of the Holy Spirit, is that in the consecration of the Mass, the priest takes the host and says that Jesus took it, he gave it to his disciples. His disciples were men and women. And I really believe in my heart that
and
women...
Did you try and become involved, Anne, in the church yourself?
At one stage, I was a member of the Presentation Order, and I have wonderful friends there. I keep in touch with them the whole time. My home is like a sanctuary for some of them now. If they feel they need space out, they come there.
Okay.
So, yes, I certainly...
So you were a nun? You were a nun?
Yes, I was, yes, very much so.
If I can, please, and check me if you... Why did you leave?
Partly because of I felt the belittling of women without priests even knowing they were doing it, because their whole culture was so different.
Yeah.
And when speaking up, I worked for a while actually in New Zealand as a parish sister, and unfortunately the parish I worked in, one or two of them, it was the priest's way or no way. And wonderful, wonderful lay people helping with the liturgy. If he didn't like the hymns they had chosen, even though they were in touch with the gospel and the readings, he'd say, "It's my mass, and this is the song I want."
Okay.
And it was the
PP's way or the highway.
That's right. And unfortunately,
by making this comparison with the Taliban, does it not devalue the suffering of women in Afghanistan being murdered by the Taliban?
Absolutely, yes.
Does it not devalue their suffering?
It does devalue their suffering if it's taken literally, but I'm not taking it literally.
Okay.
I'm taking it as an extreme way of putting something so that people might actually listen. My guess is if Roy said it in another manner, it mightn't be listened to as much as it is right now. So it's an extreme way of starting a conversation.
Okay, okay. And Anne, your work in helping Presentation Sisters, what you offer, you're a psychotherapist, so you offer a professional ear if somebody wants it, but you obviously do other good work as well in terms of people who are... Anyway, what did you say? Your house is a sanctuary for some people.
Yes, for the sisters. The sisters visit us, and for other people as well.
Okay.
And one of the reasons, Joe, that I went into psychotherapy is because I had been teaching when I was with the Presentation Sisters, but I'm actually blind now, and I have a guide dog, and I just pray that as the darkness grows outside, the light will continue to grow inside. And I'm just learning so much about life and about love and about God from my guide dog.
And the Presentation Sisters had a major role in education as well.
Listen, I thank God every day that I went to the Presentation School in Tralee and in the secondary school. And we were cared for and loved. Sometimes it might not always have been shown in the way we wanted it to be.
Yeah,
but deep down, I knew we were cared for and loved in our classrooms.
Well, then thank you for your service as a teacher and a nun, and also your service as a psychotherapist. And what's your dog's name, man? I know how attached people are to their guide dogs.
Quinto is my new dog. I got him about 6 months ago, and I still have Rory.
Oh, you've Rory.
My old dog.
And how is Rory in retirement?
Oh, listen, he's loving his retirement, Joe. And he has made the other dog so welcome.
Oh, that's brilliant. And what's the other dog called? Quinto?
Quinto. Quinto.
Oh, Quinto. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
As in five in Spanish, is it? Quinto? Quinto.
I'm not sure.
Okay, but it's a beautiful name. Okay,
Anne. It is a beautiful name. And thank you for your service of listening to people every day, too.
Sometimes I interrupt too much, and today might be one of them, judging by the reaction. But anyway, I can get the reaction is instantaneous in terms of people telling me to shut up. But I know you didn't say that. I know you'd never use those words, Anne. But Anne, thanks indeed, and stay safe. Stay safe.
And you too.
God bless.
Take care.
That's
God bless. Bye. Bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at rt.ie. Back to that incredible story at the start of the programme. By the way, the vast majority of callers agree with Roy Donovan about the role of women priests. The role of women, full stop, in church being violent or horrific and... a lot of them agree with the Taliban analogy as well. Peter, back to another Pete at the start of the programme who jumped into the canal last night in pitch darkness, backwards, by the way, to get away from two muggers. Peter, it was your wife around the same part of the canal, Dorset Street, Fisborough, yesterday. What happened?
Yeah, she was cycling home from, she visited her mother yesterday, but she cycled out to her mother. It was such a nice day. So she decided to take a bit of a detour on the way back and make, extend our cycle to enjoy the day.
And enjoy the canal. It's a beautiful amenity.
Yeah. When she came onto the Whitworth Road, two guys come up behind her on an electric bike, the little black ones, and tried to pull her off her bike.
Wow.
And they assaulted her and tried to drag her off the bike, but she wouldn't let the bike go anyway.
Were they trying to... Well, they assaulted her, which is a crime, but what was the purpose? Insofar as you know, was it to rob the bike, to rob her phone, to assault her?
No, they wanted the bike.
Wow.
Because it's an expensive bike, you know.
And she beat them off. So, well, not beat, she resisted.
She resisted. She fought back.
Well done. Well done. Yeah. And how is she now, more importantly?
Well, she's fine now, but she was a bit shaken when she got home.
When you say that she fought back, what did she do?
She gave one of them a kick and gave another fella a punch, but she was holding onto the bike anyway. She wasn't going to let it go.
And this sounds like it happened to her before, did it?
Well, she was moved once before, but it was nothing to do with the bike. It was just a fella.
Yeah.
She was walking on her own. And
so she wasn't going to take it again. The Gardaí, what did they say?
They said they'll keep an eye out around the area. It's between Fibsborough and Dorset Street.
Okay.
But two men were at the bus stop waiting on a bus, and they intervened, and the two guys ran off then.
I don't know if it's relevant, but you do say your wife is 68, so fair play to her. She punched. She managed to get a punch, and she managed to kick.
Kick, yeah.
And she she's okay.
Well, she just said to me there was no way they were getting the bike, you know.
Okay.
As I said to the guards, if they do this to a 68-year-old woman out for a cycle... like anybody is
well,
fair
you're
game,
well, you're about 68. Well, 68 is young, but she's obviously very fit as well and able, as was Pete, who's at the other end of the age scale. And he was mugged near the same spot last night, and he had to jump into the canal backwards to get away from them, taking his life into his hands. Okay, Pete, I hope your wife and indeed her mother, who's going up to see, I hope they're both well. Back tomorrow. We're not on tomorrow because of the budget. So that's it. Back on Wednesday. Today's programme was produced by Lisa Marie Berry, series producers Rebecca Mean, Damien Chanel on sound. And Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Coming soon, the all-new Sportage. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.